Welcome back to Connecting Faith. Just a fun conversation with Mark and Susan Merrill and their book, A List to Love By for Busy Wives and Busy Husbands. If you missed that show and you'd like to catch it, you can go to our website at myfaithradio.com. Click on Connecting Faith and there are podcasts of all of our shows there. We're going to talk a little bit more about marriage now with my conversation about a strengths-based marriage with Marriage Today's Jimmy Evans and certified Gallup strengths coach Alan Kelsey. Coming up.
Most people think there's something wrong with their spouse. And I've done marriage for 35 years. I've been a marriage expert for 35 years. And so I've done tons of counseling, you know, everything. And most people, in most marriages, there's a dominant spouse. There's a spouse that's stronger than the other. Okay. And even if they act as equals, there's a spouse stronger than the other. And in most marriages, the dominant spouse begins a narrative that, if you would change, our marriage would be better. Hmm. If you would, you're the problem. If you would change, our marriage would be healed. But in fact, what they're actually trying to do is to change the unchangeable. The surest way to fail is try to change the unchangeable. I'm a pilot. I fly airplanes. If I try to change the law of gravity, I'm going to kill myself. It's an unchangeable. You can respect it or you can die. God made your spouse in their mother's womb different. They're fearfully and wonderfully made. And so when we take the Clifton StrengthFinder assessment, and it's just unbelievably accurate, is science, 40 years of science applied to this. And one after the other, you see couples, and we say to them, when we tell them their strengths, and they took the assessment, but when we tell them their strengths and talk about them, one of the questions we always ask is, do you agree with this? They'll say, absolutely. Mm. They'll just shake their heads and go, this explains, like you said about your husband, Joe, is that, you know, we see that ourselves and we see our spouse. But the point being, in many cases, when people take the StrengthFinders, it's healing, because what it says to them is what you have believed all these months or years was something wrong with your spouse is actually their strength. And let me give you one example of this very quickly. We had a pastor and his wife that the StrengthFinder saved their marriage. So this was a couple of years ago before our book came out. And I was telling him about our book, Strength-Based Marriage. He said, well, that saved our marriage. I said, StrengthFinders? He said, oh, yeah. He said, my number one gift is positivity, but my wife's number one gift is strategic. He said, so I like being positive. And he said, every time I said something, I would make a comment, and my wife would try to improve it or adjust it somehow. And he said, drove me crazy. I just thought she's a nag. She's negative, and there's something wrong with her. He said, when I saw that her gift was strategic, and I read, see, strategic people always want to improve something. It's not a weakness. It's a strength. And he said, when I saw that my wife's number one strength was strategic, and I read the definition, I stopped being angry at her, and I started accepting her for who God made her to be. That's what StrengthFinder does. Mm.
You know, Jimmy, you're talking about how it's such a great tool to help one spouse understand another. But, Alan, do you also hear from couples that doing an assessment like this is really a great way for an individual to understand themselves, to not think that there was something wrong with them as well?
That's exactly right, Joe. And you know, all psychologists almost universally will never agree on anything except this one idea. And it's that self-awareness is at the bottom of all development, all human development. We get better when we know who we are. And if you want to improve your marriage, you really can't do that until you truly understand who you are. And then you can advance to helping somebody else. And so this brings new wisdom and new insight into who you are as individuals. It brings healing to the internal dialogue that we all have, where we talk to ourselves, about the things we like, about the things we don't like, what we should be doing, what we shouldn't be doing, what we hold ourselves responsible to and not responsible to, it brings healing to all of that because it explains your inner motivation. For example, you have achiever and discipline. Listen, if you get up early to work out or go do something else like that, you're doing that out of a power that's given to you by God. You almost can't even help yourself. I understand that because I know what that feels like. My wife, on the other hand, does not share any of my strengths. And so when I get up early in the morning to go work out, she will occasionally roll gently over in the bed and mumble something like, "I have no idea how you do that." And go back to sleep again. Well, it could be for me then to say proudly, "Well, I'm just a disciplined person and you're a lazy slob. If you'd get your bat out of bed, we'd be able to get something done." And really, think about the reality. I mean, how many arguments naturally start just that simply? Or I could go, "Wait a second. My wife is riddled with relationally powerful strengths, and her Superman powers work in a different place. Mine happen to land here, hers land there." It changes the landscape of my interaction completely. But it starts with me understanding myself first.
Alan, both you and Jimmy had mentioned that the key to really kind of getting into the content of this book is both people being willing to take this assessment and kind of understand a little bit about themselves. But what happens when one spouse is more interested in growth or improving the relationship, but the other spouse is not so willing?
Well, if what I would say to that, Joe, very good question. In most cases, one spouse is more interested than the other. Almost all marriage counseling is initiated by women. And they are more interested in the state of their marriage than their husbands. But let me say this. When redemptive love, 1 Peter 2 talks about how Jesus loved us when we were still in our sins. 1 Peter 3 comes right out of 1 Peter 2, says, wives, you need to do the same thing to your husbands when they're not doing the right thing. Husbands, you should do the same things to their wives when they're not doing the right thing. So it's called redemptive love. It means the best person does the right thing first. And so rather than you say, "Well, my spouse is doing wrong, they're not sensitive, they're not working on marriage," great. But if one person is willing to work at it, that gives the marriage hope. So what I would suggest is this: the interested spouse, take the assessment. Find out about yourself. The other thing, like I said, we have 2 hours of video. At the end of the book, we give you the key of how to look at these videos. You can go on there and pretty much figure out your spouse. You can, by just looking at the definitions of the strengths, you can pretty much figure out who your spouse is. Then begin to relate to them based on their strengths, celebrate their strengths. Mm. It opens a whole different world. Redemptive love means I'm coming into your world and I'm loving you when you don't deserve it. You know, if you treat a person how they deserve, that's not grace. That's law. That's merit. Everybody hates that. But what people love is they love to be treated better than they deserve. The other thing people love is to be seen. And one of the things that Alan says that I love is what happens when the strengths, when you begin to understand the strengths, is you get seen for the first time. Like I was talking about that couple on television. This man, this pastor, that his wife, he looked at his wife and said, "I always thought there was something wrong with her." He turned and looked at her and said, I am so sorry. I have never understood who you are." And for the very first time, they've been married for like 25 years. She got seen for the first time. So when you understand your own strengths and you begin to examine your spouse and see them for who they are and begin to respect that, it has unbelievable potential to reinvigorate a marriage that is sick or maybe just stale.
Boy, what a great opportunity to kind of help your spouse be the best at whatever God has created them to be.
Yep, exactly. You're touching on one of the major themes in the book now, Joe, and it's the concept of affirmation. There's a big difference between praise and affirmation. Praise speaks specifically to what you do, and affirmation speaks specifically to who you are. They're not the same. And what we found is that affirmation is basically missing in the world today. It's missing in marriages. It's missing in relationships with kids. It's missing in workplaces. And the reason is because we don't know each other very well. But this, those five little words give you such insight into who the other person is. You can really speak true affirmation to your spouse. And when you do, it helps them feel seen in a way they have never had before.
Well, that was Strengths-Based Marriage, Build a Stronger Relationship by Understanding Each Other's Gifts. I highly recommend that. Love, love Gallup Strengths Finder. It really helps you understand yourself and your spouse. If you heard a little bit of our show but want to hear the rest, you can go to myfaithradio.com, click on Connecting Faith, and you can see all of our podcasts there if you want to hear the Strengths-Based Marriage conversation or what we had earlier today with Mark and Susan Merrill on List to Love By for Busy Husbands and Busy Wives.